Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Man, I like that Brad Paisley anthem.
I like it too, because
it reminds me of us winning the championship.
Exactly.
In their yard.
You can never take it away from me, Los Angeles or New York.
No, let them try. Still got to see the ball, hit the ball. Run, catch, do it all.
Exactly.
Takes talent. Well, I'll leave it at that. they're making a mockery out of this, though. And we're not the only team that was involved in it. Where's all the bad press on Boston?
Exactly.
Not seeing it. All the loves here in Houston. Mm-hmm. All right. 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down south. Let's get hooked up with old Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Cliff, good morning. What's up, man?
Morning, Mickey. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot.
Just getting nervous. You're coming down. You know, I'm kind of stressing now. The man's coming on
my team. Hey, we're just going fishing. It don't matter.
Yeah, right. I'm not stressing or nothing. No,
no, I'm stressing out because I got to fish with you. I'm going, man, I hope I don't let this guy down.
No, I'll be the guy kind of catch up down there. But I'm just thawing out the last 2 days, man.
Old and slow and fat and sassy.
Man, I come home after 2 days and I'm hurting, man.
Oh, I know it. It doesn't get any easier.
But you know, that old and slow thing kind of helps you in the winter.
No, it does. I'm telling you. I like the old and slow. I'm adapting to it real nice.
Man, I've had a couple of good two last days, you know, with really good fishermen. Yesterday, the high pressure got us, Mickey. God dang, they were so high.
I know, that barometer was smoking high yesterday, dude.
Man, I got smoked yesterday. And on Thursday, I caught an 8.5, 30-incher on Thursday. And it was awesome. Cool how I caught this fish. We hadn't had a bite. I mean, it was slow. We went through 3.5 hours of grinding and not even a bump. And this water was so dirty, and these wind, it stirred this water up, and those big fish were in there, Mickey. I could see them moving, and we couldn't get in front of one. And Jimmy Burns just sent me that new carbon mag rod, and I got to catch a fish on this carbon mag. Yeah. So I stuck one. It was about 3 pounds on a plastic. I mean, that's really cool. And I'm going to stick with this carbon mag, and I'm going to stick with my plastic. And I put on that little 1/16 ounce head of Jay's with that double XL Little John and that darker color, that plum. And let me tell you what, I threw that sucker out there in the same spot I've been fishing. There's a couple little mullet in there. I've just been throwing and throwing at this little hole. I mean, throwing it. I just know that that fish was in there. And that fish thumped it, and you could feel it all the way through your arm, Mickey. I cannot believe how thin that rod was. And I sat back on her, and she just sat there and then took off like a redfish. I go, oh, man, that's a red. Then it stopped and did that head shake and go, no, that ain't
good. Uh-oh.
And then it was so shallow, when she run up, her back come out of the water. That's how shallow I'm fishing. And I saw her, and I got her in and took a picture and turned her loose. But you talk about a beautiful fish, but not many bites up there. I think I had like 4 bites up there really shallow. I'm fishing, you know, where you see your kneecaps a lot of times, and it's just not a lot of stuff up there.
You don't make it tough on me. I'm gonna have to bring an extra long boga grip so I can bend over to reach them fish, man.
The weather pattern is gonna be a little different, because you know this is what's going on. It's up and down. It gets real cold, and when it gets real windy and cold, the water stirs up, so they got to go really shallow to get the warm. Now you get a cold snap in low winds and the water's not too dirty, they'll stay in that 3-4 foot waist deep because they're getting sun penetration. But you get those windy days like we've had that blow straight north and rips that bay, or even the sloughs get ripped, they try to get up on those mud paths or knee deep, and they try to get that penetration from the sun, and that's when the game gets tough. And But, you know, it's all fun. It's all in the game. But I think in Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be a little different story. It's going to be warm.
Yeah, looking at my Corpus forecast, I've been watching it extended all week, and now instead of 79, they're saying 75 for highs. So,
okay, that's better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes it scatters them
out.
How does
blog say it? There's no bad weather, just bad gear.
Yeah, oh, that's the best one ever. That's so true, too. And it's so funny because the guy on Thursday really missed our forecast. He, you know, was talking about light winds and stuff, and it just ripped. And, you know, I always try to prepare for the day on how much layers I put on. And Thursday I said, I'm going to put on that second layer. You know, it's not just going to warm up real fast. And, man, what a mistake because it was cold. I should have took it, put it on and able to take it off later. But it's funny how you these weathermen miss your forecast. You better go ahead and dress a little warmer. You can always take it off.
Yes, you can.
But our water is down to 52 and 54,
man,
which is just amazing. And what got us, though, Monday and Friday, the pressure was just too high. I just didn't get a lot of bites on Friday. It was tough. But what got us, we never had a wind die. That front was a lot stronger than they thought, Mickey, and it just ripped us. It blew hard northeast, and it ripped that bay for a few days. And I think today is going to be a good bite. I'm not fishing today, of course, but I think the wind's down a little more, and I think they'll get a little better bite. That water clears up.
Yeah, they're showing Monday 66 to 75, mostly cloudy. Tuesday 61 to 75, mostly cloudy.
Oh, that's good. That's all right. Whatever hand we're dealt,
it doesn't
we'll
even
play
matter.
It.
You know, whatever hand we're dealt, we'll just go deal with it and go fishing.
Yeah, it ain't nothing we ain't seen before, Mickey.
I know. I hadn't fished down there in so long. I'm just longing to come down and fish that area. I love it down there. It's a shame.
I hope
so
everything clears
there.
Up. Well, hopefully the water get cleared up so we can have some targets. I like it when you got targets to throw at. You know, you got grass pads and you just not fishing blind. A lot of times in this mud, I'm fishing blind and I'm throwing at is a mullet swirl or something. I've walked that bottom so much.
That's Galveston fishing right there, buddy.
Yeah.
That's the way we roll up here. throwing in dirty water at active bait fish or maybe a slick or two. And hey, I'll be right at home in that pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff, man. Hey, but I never did hear who the other guide was. He never did call me or anything. Did you know who that other guide was?
I forgot his name.
Oh, that's no worries. I'm sure
I'll try
to
text David today and see who it is. That way we can get hooked up Sunday, you know, while we check into that house.
Yeah, that way we can meet at the same place and get everybody in the boats and all that. They can do what they want after that. But, yeah, it'd be nice just to have everybody meet. Are you coming in, Sunday afternoon late? Or?
Yeah, I'll probably get down there about 3 or 4. 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Whenever I get there, and I got you a really nice gift pack from our good buddy Bob Hardy.
Oh man, I talked.
Yes,
about
sir.
That.
I got
That's
you
cool,
one of big
man.
Old 2 gallon Ziploc bags full of rattling succulents in them that you'll like really good.
We'll see if we can get some big old trout to eat one. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. But we'll just get together Sunday afternoon and get a game plan. But I'm really looking forward to it, Mickey. It's been a long time, man. I've always wanted to fish with you. This is going to be great. I hope I produce for you, buddy. I'm going to work hard for you. I hope I produce.
No, we're just going to go fishing. I know about this stuff, man. You can't make stuff happen that can't happen. I mean, all you can do is go try.
We're gonna work hard. Hey, It won't be your fault we don't catch them, man. You relax this time. You're not behind the steering wheel. Isn't that nice? That's like when I go fishing with Jay. When I go fishing with Jay, I just totally relax. I ain't got no pressure. I got Jay watching.
Hey, man. Hop on the bus and leave the driving to us.
That's old
Greyhound bus slogan.
That's good stuff, man. But, it's funny, though, but Mickey's, you know, I'm catching fish on corkies on those cold mornings, but man, this year has just really been a soft plastic year. The Little John's just been smoking. That on the clearer days, I'm throwing the watermelon red flake, and then on the darker days, throwing the purple, you know, the purple demon and the darker colors.
I dipped a
bunch
of tails this week, actually.
Good.
I dipped me a whole bag of purple demons.
Good. I'm going to have to steal a couple from you.
Got me some white tail dip and got them dipped up nicely. And I couldn't find any dark. I've got Blue Moon and some watermelon in the XLs, but I don't, you know, and I've got plenty of provokers and stuff. I don't know. I'll probably end up catching them on one bait. But I got,
yeah.
I mean, Corky's, hot rods, Lee's, I got all that stuff, man. It just,
oh, that's awesome, man. That's
we'll see what we catch them on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But looking forward to it. And it's funny because early in the week, I had two trips on Monday, Tuesday, and they canceled on Sunday on me. So I just, you know, didn't have any trips during early in the week. But I heard they had did pretty good here earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And then it was just not a numbers of 4 to 6 as they caught a couple of big ones. But it's funny when it gets really cold, that's when I'm seeing those, you know, 30, 31 inch fish. But I'm sure we'll catch some fish. Mickey, hope we'll stick a big one. I wish it'd be a little colder. So maybe we'll get a little topwater bite with that warmer water. And
we might.
That's what I'm hoping for. We might get a little topwater bite.
A couple in the box. You know me. I'll throw, if they're eating grasshoppers, I'll get up on the bank, start catching them, get my butterfly net out.
Oh, no, man. No, we're all good. Looking forward to it. But I'm thinking that Monday morning, we're going to, you know, take off pretty – I'll get with you Sunday. We'll probably take off pretty early on Monday morning. That's why I'd like to get a hold of that young man just to –
Yeah,
just
we will.
Kind of let him know.
I'll be sure and handle that for you. Yeah, we'll get a hold of
it. I'm running. I mean, we're running. We're covering a lot of mileage during the day.
Yeah.
And not that we have to fish together, but we'd like to know where, you know, if somebody's on something, if he's on something, I'm on something, we'll kind of stay together. But it's funny, you'll hit these fish, you'll get them, and they'll bite, and then they'll shut down, and you'll go somewhere else and come back that bait, and they'll bite again. We're doing a lot of deals where we catch taking them for an hour and a half, and they shut down, and we get, you know, we set on for an hour, and they don't bite. We move and find some other fish, and then it's funny, you'll come back to that same spot, and they're turned on again.
They'll light up
again. They're eating those big mullet, Mickey, and they'll eat for a little while, and they'll stop. But once you find those baits, it's on.
Cool. Well, hang on, Cliff. Let me do a quick break. I'll come right back at you. Hang with me.
All right, buddy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 619 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Cliff way up and talk some more. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, man. You know, you were talking earlier about, you implied, I guess it was yesterday, about the flounder deal. And are people over there as upset about the flounder deal as they are here?
It's unbelievable. You think it was the end of the world.
Yeah, but I'm getting all these calls. Man, it's not that big a deal. I mean, they're doing what they need to do. But, man, we got some people hot about that stuff. God almighty, man. I'm just wondering if you're getting the same calls I'm getting about the flounder. Did I listen to you and Plog yesterday talking about it? And I don't know what they're going to do to the commercial guys yet. I think they're going to cut it down to 15. Is that what it is, Mickey?
Yeah, I think they're going to cut them in half. That's the proposal anyway. It's all proposal stuff. They're in the
I was just wondering. Man, I got some upset people here about it. Golly.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know a lot of us, you know, depend on, you know, our resource for a living and all that, but actually it's not there for that. It's for everybody. And we've got to be stewards and take care of it and preserve it. It's all gone. We're talking, you know, a $1 billion industry.
Yeah. And it's funny, Mickey, because you hear of all the flounder you guys got, Matagorda, and we don't have the flounder we normally do. It's really been an off year for a few years for us and other places too. So it's just the area you're in, and it's a lot about the winters we're having and not cold enough.
That's what it all boils down to, Cliff, is the winters we've had in the past. And see, people don't understand these age classes of fish. And you remember, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, though, that winter, that's when we had ice on the shores of the bay system. I mean, it got cold. I mean, they had to close down fishing areas, you know, to save the fish. And the flounder had a really good spawn that year. So it took them 2 years to grow up and become catchable, keeper-sized fish. And last year, everybody was going, man, where's all the flounder? This is the worst year I've ever seen. And then this present one we're in, you know, 2019, there were flounder on every street corner. Because that age class of fish finally came up through the ranks. And the hardest thing for people to understand is the biomass thing. You know, the spawns we get and creates the biomass. And when you miss a couple of those windows, you lose those age classes of fish, and then you have your really bad years. And then all of a sudden you have a banner year and think, man, there's no end to this. We got millions of them. And same way with our trout, what we went through up here for those 5 years of severe floods. I mean, Harvey was the toilet flusher. That was the that was the end all. That's the one that really finished us off. And now we're, you know, we had to make, you know, make restrictions and changes to accommodate that so we can build our population of fish back up and get us back to a sustainable, healthy fishery. And it's just, you know, we're not used to it because we've never had these kind of weather patterns to dictate these type of things. You know, a lot of the fishermen
totally
now, they never
weather.
Went through the freezes you and I went through in 83 and 89. They don't have a clue what it's like to lose all your fish.
Oh, yeah. I almost had to get a real job, Mickey.
Well, yeah, didn't we all? We all went offshore fishing. I remember after the 89-90 freezes, we had the big one in December of 89 and the big one in February of 90. And
man, it was something.
That was just, you know, I remember we had that big seminar deal with Mark Sosin at U of H at the Governor's Hall, and I barely made it there because of the ice on the freeways in February that year. And that's the one that really popped y'all hard down south. I mean, y'all had dead fish everywhere.
Oh, that was unbelievable. The shoreline just stunk with dead fish. It looked like snow on the beaches. It looked like
there
snow.
Wasn't
there
enough,
was that many
there
dead
wasn't
fish.
Enough coyotes and birds to eat all the dead fish, man.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That almost had to get a real job. I was going to be a greeter at Walmart, but I wasn't qualified. Just, you know, I kept wanting to take everybody to the fishing department. I could only take them to the fishing department. That's the only thing I know anything about. But anyway.
Here, let me show you what to buy. It's not any good right now, but this is what you're going to catch them on when we get
them. Let me
them
show
again.
You what we used to catch them on, man.
Yeah.
And they're on sale because nobody's buying them.
That's it. Clearance sale.
Clearance sale, Bubba. But, yeah, I went through those hard times, man. That's I'm glad it's over. That's when I moved from Bath, and I was catching all those big fish. It was nothing in Bath, and I moved up toward Port Aransas and started fishing up there. You know, and back then it was just pretty much Pencilville. It was a lot of little fish, and, you know, I went from pogs to, you know, and I had to keep a good attitude about it. I had to keep fired up my customer. Yeah, we're going to catch some big old 18-inchers tomorrow, you know. And it's just like, what? I said, but that's better than nothing. I said, we can go to the dead zone and run down south and look at all the dead stuff and be depressed, or we can go up and get a little action. And I tell you what, that northern end of Port Aransas and the ship channel saved a lot of fish.
Well,
and that's one
closer
thing
to the Gulf, you were, you know, getting tide running fish coming in to, you know, to help, you know, keep you going. That's what we had to do here. I mean, and I remember in 1990, a good catch. I mean, if you caught seven or eight trout and came to the dock with them, you better call old Doug Pike over at the Chronicle, man. You're fixing to make the news.
Yes, man.
That's how bad it was.
Oh, man. And, you know, the CCA, it's done so good for all the stuff we're doing with the flounder and stuff. But also, these barges were coming down, especially the land cut, that 22 miles of closed-in ditches, and those fish were on the bottom there, and they stirred them up and killed them by the thousands.
Oh, man.
And then we had all the shrimpers from Mexico coming over here and scooping up all the fish and taking them back. So it's good, you know, that CCA steps in on for us and is a voice for us and helps us. Because if we didn't have those guys, think about it, Mickey, man.
You got to have management. And, you know, I get frustrated with Texas Parks and Wildlife. We all do from some of the decisions they make. It's always too late, you know, too late. And, but they are upper echelon when it comes to knowing about our fishery. I mean, they do keep a good tab on that, and they set the standard really for all the other states on the Gulf Coast. You know, you talk to other biologists from other states, and TPNW has always set the standard. And we don't always agree with them, but, you know, it's their job. And you think they want to prevent us from catching fish? You know, everybody goes, well, they just don't want us to catch fish anymore. Well, no, they want us to. No. They want to have a fishery, because if we don't have a fishery, they don't have a job either.
That's right. They ain't selling license or nothing. That's just it. It all makes a
You know,
circle,
license
you know?
Revenue is the lifeblood of that system. And
exactly right. And just, you know, perfect example, there was no game wardens here in 1960. Nobody working the coast. And the gill netters were so thick, Mickey, they'd run those gill nets from King Ranch Shore on all the way to Bath. And in the sporties, they call them, the sport fishermen, couldn't catch anything but 16, 18-inch trout, because those are the ones that went through the net.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd hardly ever see a redfish. And then my dad went to work for the Parks and Wildlife. He's the only guy down there. And the guy he went to work for says, are you afraid of anybody? My dad says, no, I'm not afraid of anybody. He says, that's good.
He says, that's good.
Because I'm sending you down to a really bad place. he had that big old game worn boat, and he drug this big old steel hook behind the boat, you know, with about a 40-foot rope, and he'd hang those gill nets on the bottom, and they'd come to the top, making all these big old trout be flopping up on top of the water, and he'd turn around and start piling that thing up on the bow of that boat. And he had an ice pick. He'd take that ice pick, and he'd run around the gills of those fish and flip them out in the water, the ones that were alive. And people don't realize they partially want to try to let go every fish that was alive. But once the game wardens went out there and started chasing them, everybody else shut down. They wouldn't run their nets. And so the fish would bloat. They'd swell up, and all the nets would come to top. And so you'd have all these nets in Bath and full of dead fish, and it would make him so mad because they were
dead, rotten fish.
You know,
the same thing,
you know,
it's
one thing
brother.
To take them and feed people, but to let them rot, you know, that's really was a hard thing.
Well, they were afraid they were going to get caught running their nets, you know.
Right. And I remember one night he pulled his game warden boat up in this cabin in Bath and put a black tarp over it in the middle of the night because he's watching this big net this guy was running, and he's behind that tarp, and that guy, he waited till that guy got half that net in the boat where he couldn't run. He's got half the net in the boat, half in the water. And he threw that tarp up and fired up those two 150 Mercuries, and he charged over to Bucky's boat, you know, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's not anybody in Bath, and he shines a spotlight on Bucky and says, "Hey, man, got your state game warden." Bucky turns around and goes, "Who, me?"
Yeah, who, me? I'm not doing anything wrong.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody in 5 miles in the middle of the bay. And he's smiling, go, "Who, me?"
Half you know. His boat's full of net, you know.
Yeah. Well, what am I doing something? You know, I thought that was some good stuff. Those guys are
Yeah, we saw. Yeah. We went through. You know, Trinity Bay was the last bay to be closed to gill netting. On the whole Texas coast, you know, in Chambers County, And, we'd watch all this stuff, and, I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the, man, I want to get Blaine and James in here on a Sunday and just have a show and talk about what we went through the trying to eliminate all this illegal activity that was going on up this way in the 80s. And it was bad. I mean, it was real bad.
Yeah. And that's
just a way of life for those people. And I understand it was their livelihood, and that's all they knew. That's all they knew to do. And it was taking their livelihood away from them, but they had to do it to save the resource.
Yeah. And when those people became more and more, when it was just a couple people doing it, but there was a lot of people doing it, it took a toll on our fish, Mickey, and they had to do something about it.
It was like
an
epidemic.
You take away someone's livelihood, but, man, it doesn't work for everybody. It has to be these fish belong to all of us, whether your guides are taking them out or whoever's taking them out. You know, those fish belong to everyone.
All right, anyway. Cliff, well. Man, I'll find out who that other guy is. I'll get with David and I'll call you, and we'll get all hooked up and get squared away. And I'll be down there Sunday evening. We'll get hooked up.
Yeah, we'll get hooked up Sunday afternoon and see you. Can't wait, Mickey. Looking forward to fishing, brother.
You got it, man. All fun times. Throw them out
it's
a number.
It's
gonna
be good, man.
Come fish with you, Cliff.
All right, Mickey. I'm at area code 361-949-0707. You guys drive careful coming down. Thanks, man.
We're gonna do it. See you, man. Take care.
All right, buddy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 6:37 in the Bayou City. Now let's run up to the Big Sam Rayburn Reservoir, and check in with our good friend, Mr. Will Kirkpatrick. Will, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
Well, it's 37 degrees outside.
A little chilly.
The lake dropped back down anywhere from 52 to about 53, 54. So, you know, that answers the question that a lot of people have had about, you know, are they going to be early this year? Well, not when it stays down in the 30s or not.
No, more cold weather coming next week, too.
Well, that's what they said. So, you know. But we have tackled the fish in cold weather, too. It's called Carolina rigs and jigging spoons and deep diving crankbaits.
Yep.
You know, I don't think they're going all the way back out in the big lake yet. I think they're going to stay in places like the mouth of each basin and Coleman and Five Fingers. But you won't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be out there like they were a couple weeks ago. You know, you need to be out there right at daylight or a little after. But then winter came back, and we told, you know, we talked about this.
We sure did.
It was warm, but that could all change, and it has changed. I don't think we're going to get any snow this year. I had, I don't know if you ever met Mel Phillips or not.
No, I never did.
He's a outdoor show up in Abilene. And it was 10 degrees and snowing. He called me one evening last week. 10 degrees and snowing. We sure don't need that.
It was 20 yesterday morning in Abilene.
Yeah, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the reason I moved to East Texas. But the fish are going to, you know, this is going to push them back out a little bit deeper. They're not going to stay in the back end of Town Center Running Creek. You know, they're going to move back out. But they don't have to go very far. You know, they get out there a quarter of a mile, and they're in 30, 40 foot of water. Because right where you come out of Running Creek, there's deep water right there for that. Well, there's two big points that come out, and right between them is where Running Creek comes out, and it drops down to 30, 35 feet there pretty quick.
Yeah.
So those fish will just, you know, it don't take a fish long to swim out, you know, a quarter of a mile.
No, they got deep water access real close to those ledges and areas you're talking about.
Parks and Wildlife is having a little problem. You know, they were doing a study on, because people complained about Toledo Bend that all the pressure it was getting, the fish was getting worse, and fishing was getting worse. So in all their infinite wisdom, they put about 50 fish out there with trackers in them. Things like John Hope used.
Yeah, I read about that.
Did you really? Well, they're... quite a few of them dying. You know. I don't know if you remember Mike Ray. I think he was there one time when you were there, maybe. But he used to be the head of the hatchery here, freshwater hatcheries in Texas. And he told me one time, he said, when the water gets down in the 50s, we don't like to handle, or in the 60s, we don't like to handle fish because they're susceptible to fungus. And I didn't know whether he was telling me the truth or just kind of leading me on. So I asked Bill Provine. He was up here. And Bill had spent, I think he retired. He had about 40 years with Parks and Wildlife. And he told me the same thing. He said, man, when the water's 60 degrees, he says, them fish are... He says, they're getting close to having the little ones, or have already had the little ones, and they had a temperature drop. And he said, you don't want to mess with them when it's down there, the water's down there in the 60s. Well, I asked Bill DeRocher one time, he told me the same thing. And yet our biologist says nobody knew that this was going to happen. You know, water's down in the 60s. Well, I had three people in the boat said it was going to happen. And he worked for two of them and knew the other one, so I don't know. But the fishing will, you know, they went back out, and they will stay out until we get back up. You know, we're going to have to get up another 10 degrees, and then they'll come back in. And with 37, even yesterday was a beautiful day. Sun was shining, but it still never got warm.
No.
And, you know, we're back into, we're going to have three or four nights when the temperature's in the 50s, air temperature's in the 50s before these waters are going to start warming again.
Right.
And from what you're telling me, we got another cold front coming next week, so.
Yeah, Tuesday afternoon, and then looks like it's going to be pretty chilly Wednesday through Friday, and then into Saturday morning, then warm up again on Sunday.
Well, that will make it nice. We'll be inside next week.
Yes.
You know, the map electronics class is all inside. So, and it's full. One of your listeners filled it up last week.
Cool. That's so good.
But, you know, hopefully we got 2 weeks before before big bass, so hopefully they'll be changed and coming back in a little bit, but you and I have been out there when it's been down in the chilies, the air temperature, water temperature has been in the low 60s, so that's what we're going to look at again. But it's going to be deep diving crankbaits, Carolina rigs. Now that I got another bunch of tube worms in from Cream, so you know next time I go in town, I got to get me some more super glue. Because Billy Murray says you don't have to use corks. He said just one drop of super glue in the back end of those tube worms, and he said they are floating forever.
Cool.
So we'll see how they work out. But we got lots of stuff to fish with, so I got to get some lure packs put together for Big Bass Week.
Yeah.
And we still got some slots left in it if they want to come. They're going to be. We're going to have two worms, and we're going to have the ring weights for the diggers.
Wacky worms.
Yeah. And Murray will be down here that Wednesday morning, the Big Bass.
Awesome.
He said that, you know, I talked about it was a little chilly here. It's really chilly up there. It was 28 one morning. So I asked him, did you catch any fish? He said, you know, I ain't going out no 28 degrees.
No.
Fishing.
He's grown up, too. We
yeah,
all have.
He's mellowing with old age.
Yes, I understand. I'm there with him. Well, Will, if somebody wants to call you and get in on the Big Bass class and fill the last few openings you got, how do they get a hold of you, man?
409-584-3177. And all like right. I said, you know, Carolina rigs, jigging spoons, deep diving crankbaits, at least until we get another 8 or 10 degrees in the water.
Good deal. All right, Will. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mickey.
Have a good weekend. Thank you, sir. See you.
You bet. Bye.
All right, take care. All right, that's Will Kirkpatrick. Now, let's slide over next door to Lake Livingston and talk to Harry Detan at Pinwall Campground in Marina. Harry, good morning.
Hey, Mickey, how are y'all today?
Oh, we're hanging in here, bud. It's all good.
It's all good, yeah.
Well, yes,
we're a little cool up here this morning.
I see that.
About, I think it's right around 38 degrees somewhere in there, and got a little bit of a wind out of the east, I guess you might say. But
yeah.
Other than that, it looks like it probably should be a pretty nice day today, I hope. But anyway, we kind of had a mixed-up week, you know, this week. You know, we had rain, drizzle, whatever you want to call it, and then yesterday it turned out to be a really pretty nice day and all. But, you know, the lake, we're, I think, 131.62
yeah.
is what the level was a little while ago, and I think the release is somewhere around 13,000. So
right, you're spot on.
Things are starting to come up. Starting to see a few more crappie caught. I did see a fellow brought one up yesterday. He had about an 8-pound black bass.
Dang.
So
that's
so,
a good one.
You know, that's a good one. But you know, I think you know the water temperature running yesterday, I think, was about 53. Somewhere in that area, so it's still just a little bit cool. But you know, it's kind of funny. You know, I think week before last it was running about 59, but with the week that we had this week, it's running a little bit cooler. So
yeah.
things are starting to come out, and hopefully we'll come on out and have a real nice springtime, and I sure will. But I don't know. The only problem I got I got wet there the other day and wound up with the cold, and that hadn't helped. That hadn't helped matters a whole lot.
No, you better watch out for that, man.
I know. Yeah. You know, I knew I was going to get one when I did it, but you know, when you stand out in the drizzle and stuff, and don't get something dry on, you know, I mean, you wind up paying the consequences, but. But anyway, it was kind of a lopsided type week, and it looks like we're going to have a couple of days of sunshine, and then
Well, it's clouding up today.
Supposed to have some rain or?
Yeah, our rain chance goes up a little bit tonight and then drops tomorrow.
Yeah.
And as it warms up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nice through Tuesday. Then we got another front coming sometime Tuesday afternoon or evening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's going to get cold again in the latter part of the week.
Yeah. You know, it surprised me that we was this cold this morning.
I know.
I mean, it did. But, you know, somebody said something about it yesterday, and I said, well, look at them skies. There ain't a cloud in the sky. You know, there ain't no cloud cover, you know, so it may get cold. And it did. But the lake water, you know, Livingston's starting to be in pretty good shape. You know, we had a couple of little rough blows, and that kind of stirred things up and all. But overall, I mean, I think we're starting to be in pretty decent shape. The water up in the creeks, and they look good here at Fenwall's good. And I know people have been fishing the hound out of Kickapoo over there. They're catching a few crappie, a lot of small crappie, but I still think it's, you know, for them to come in the shallows and stuff, you know, we need that water temperature, 61, 62, 63 degrees, somewhere in there, where they come into the banks a little bit better. But anyway, it'll all come around sooner or later. It sure will. But we're just glad to see, you know, we're starting to have a little more activity. There's not a lot of boating or anything. I think there's one little old club tournament going out today, and people are starting to get out and drive around, look around. So surely we got a springtime coming someplace. I hear y'all been, what the north wind is playing. Heck with y'all down yonder, Mickey, or pushing all the water out, or what?
Yeah, we've been getting some pretty good strong blows out of the north. It turns around real quick, but we had that last full moon, and we had some real negative lows to go with those north winds, and we dropped our water a lot. But it came right back with the east winds.
I was talking to old Fernando there yesterday. He said he had 16 boats that he needed to test run. He ain't got enough water to test run them in.
I know it because he goes down there to Dickinson, you know, under the bridge,
right,
to put them in.
Right.
We hadn't had any water. I know it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he did say if he had a membership down to that yacht basin down yonder, he could get it in down there.
Yeah.
But I think he said that'd be an hour's drive or something. I don't know. You know, it was way out of the.
He'd have to file all that. It'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, but they've been having a hard time. You know, they've got them rigged and they're ready to go and all, but they need to run them, make sure they're going to work. You know.
Well, he won't let them go till he runs them. That's a fact.
He sure
they
won't.
Do it right over there, man. They're the best. They do it.
Well,
great
you know,
job.
I tell you what, you know, actually, what they do, they'll have a guy video that boat running.
They do.
And put a video of them gauges on there. If it's whatever it's tacking out in the whole nine yards, and they give that to the customer and all. But that's really a good deal. And you know, over the years, Mickey, we see people come in here and they'll say, well, they're going to try their boat out. They just got it out of the shop and blah, blah, you know. So, you know, just normal talk. And they'll take it down the ramp and put it in the water. And next thing you know, they're pulling back out. And they say, well, it ain't running right, you know. So they're gone back to the shop, you know.
And that's right. And that shouldn't
happen.
I mean,
and that is.
That's
not really
that's,
good.
That's bad on the customer.
That's not good on the customer.
That's what I like the way Fernando and them handle it. All right, Harry. I'm out of time, and I got to run, but if somebody wants to call you,
have a good day.
Hey, give them a number, buddy.
Up here at Fenwall, it's 936-967-4752. Y'all have a good day.
We're going to do it. Harry, have a good weekend. See you, bud. Take care of the cold. All right.
I will. Bye-bye.
All right. That's old Harry Detant up at Fenwall Campground and Marinas on Lake Livingston. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But we'll be back tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.